But he that hateth gifts shall live. And that makes the holiday haters feel really good about themselves. We're blessed because we hate gifts. But the context is that's talking about using as a bribe.
Yeah.
Obvious example here in Ohio recently is our Speaker of the House, Larry Householder. He, along with a guy named Bolger, is a Republican who supports Biden. He deserves what he gets. But they have been arrested. And these rhinos and never-Trumpers are destroying the Republican Party in Ohio. It's been corruption that's destroyed the Democrat Party in Ohio. Well, they're going to make a comeback as a result of the corruption in the Republican Party. And it just so happens it's almost always a rhino or a never-Trumper.
It's somebody like Trump in Ohio.
Yes, amen. True. So if you hate bribes, and you're a judge, you start taking bribes, they'll catch you. Used to be a day you might get by with that, but judges get caught. Cops. You know, every once in a while they arrest the cop because he'll tell a woman that if she'll do a specific sexual favor for him, he'll overlook the speeding ticket he was about to write her. And they just arrested another one somewhere last week and it was on the internet. There are bad cops. And there are cops who don't go by the word of God. But there are also bad preachers. There are bad English teachers. They're bad, I was going to say janitors. What's the official title? Maintenance.
Custodians.
Wait a minute. No. Jill, what did you say?
Maintenance workers, maintenance men, custodians.
I thought there was a...
Maintenance engineer.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm a custodian of the cross.
Yeah. But there's a name that I hear used and none of you said so anyway. But there are corrupt dentists. There are corrupt delivery drivers. There are corrupt federal workers. State workers. Not that I was a corrupt one, but I used to work for the state. There are corrupt IT workers. IT. There are corrupt foster parents. I think I hit just about everybody. There are corrupt Kroger employees. Trying to hit them all. Yeah, Chipotle workers. They've had corrupt Chipotle workers.
How about cleaners?
Corrupt laundromat experts. And so forth. What am I saying? I'm saying that when you hear these people act like, oh, there's a bad... or even a number of bad fill-in-the-blank, that doesn't in any way mean that they're all bad. It means that the human race is fallen, and so the bad ones should pay for it. Pay for being bad. But don't turn on all of them. And no matter what, you know, there are preachers who have been paid off. I could tell you that I was once offered a sum of money. But there were strings attached. It wasn't the size of money that I remember. He's now passed, so I'll mention this. But Chuck Smith, out in Calvary Chapel, California, guy came in with a $1 million check. And but it was with strings attached.
What did he want you to do?
Huh? What
did he want you to do?
Well, what, me? It was to stop teaching certain things.
Oh.
Yeah. It wanted me to change. And I believe there are preachers who do that. A family that with money will come in, they're like, well, I'm not going to touch their pet sin or their pet doctrine anymore. So I'll just stay away from that and keep the money. That's a big time right now is the children who are sodomites. And so they don't want to offend the parents. So they just drop it. Yeah, that's the same thing. Gifts sometimes refers to fees paid to rulers. You know, right now, that's what NATO is. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a reality. The guy with the guns, you know, and that you read through the Old Testament, you'll read over and over where the kings of Israel and Judah would send gold and gifts to the king of Assyria or the king of Syria or whoever, the Pharaoh, as like a protection fee. And it still goes on today. In 2 Samuel 8:6, then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went.
Amen.
So that, look at that. I mean, you got to look at the context. You got to see what's being said so you know what the word gifts is referring to. But then there are gifts given out of love and respect. Just look at the first. This is the first use. The law of first use. Genesis 25. Turn your Bibles there. Genesis 25. Some of this information is good to know for your understanding of Scripture. Other times, you might end up on Jeopardy and need to know this. Genesis 25, verses 6 through 8. I'll start in verse 5. It says, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. You there?
Yep.
Verse 6. Go ahead and read that with me. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the country. Now, a lot of people that are very new to the Bible may not know this, but Abraham, after Sarah died, he married a Keturah.
Yep.
And he had children. And those are not, as far as we know, none of them became Jews later. None of them followed the Hebrews after Isaac and Jacob. But they were the sons of Abraham. And it says, verse 7, these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. So right before he died, he sends off his other sons from his final wife and sends them away from Isaac, hoping to avoid conflict between the boys. That's why he did that. So that's a good example, gifts. I just present that as the law of first use. It's not negative. That is not a negative connotation, as is claimed by a lot of these cults. Gifts are given in observance of special occasions. Of course, that's in the context of the title of this message, Christmas gifts. Special occasions. Look at 2 Chronicles 32. Those of you who skip the Chronicles, you see why we urge you to not skip the Chronicles.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 32. And I love when the angel of the Lord shows up. In verse 21, and the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land, and when he was come into the house of his God, that came forth of his own bowels, talking about his own sons, slew him there with the sword. And verse 22 then says, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Now, in our daily reading, by our calendar, we're in 2 Chronicles. And Jenny and I, just last night, I think it was, when we were reading, and we just stopped after we were done. Isn't that just amazing? Hezekiah was the son of a very wicked king.
Yeah.
And that's why, and then there's... Hezekiah's own offspring weren't like him. Every generation makes a choice whether they're going to serve the God, serve the Lord or not. And is back in chapters 29 and 30 where we were reading about after having such a wicked king, Ahaz, terrible man. And then comes Hezekiah, and he just chooses to follow the Lord. And folks, that's how all of us should be, no matter who went before us, choose to follow the Lord. And it's just an amazing thing to account to read. And then verse 22, The Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Can you imagine? It takes some effort. Think about our nation being surrounded by 200 million Chinese, and we've had an EMP go off. Our electronics don't work. We're down to nothing. We just have our guns and ammo that we have in our homes. And our military has been depleted. We would be desperate. And yet, in this situation, that's where Israel was. And God stepped in and saved Israel. So what did they do? How did they react? Read verse 23 with me. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. They respond with giving. Gifts to the Lord, meaning they brought things to the temple, and gifts to the king. And it was all in celebration and joy of the fact that God had spared them. Gifts are a sign of respect and also an act of charity. Look over at Esther. Some of you might have, when I just first started talking about this study, might have thought, well, I know a place in Esther we ought to read. Well, let's go there. Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. And if you're not familiar with the story, a man named Haman was the Hitler of this story, who wanted the final solution to be to wipe out all the Jews. God used Queen Esther to thwart that plan. And so then, at verse 20, go ahead and read that. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. Now, what's he's writing them letters. This is like email of his day. And verse 21, read that. To establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. Now, I want to say this. This is Mordecai. At no point does the Bible say God instructed this. And yet, Jews, God-loving, Bible-believing Jews, kept the Feast of Purim. P-U-R-I-M. Purim. The Feast of Lots. Why do I mention that? Because there are people who say we shouldn't do anything unless it's in the Bible. So since there's no mention of celebrating the birth of Christ and Christmas, it's wrong to do so. Well, not only Purim, also the Feast of Lights, Hanukkah. It shows Jesus going to the temple. I think it's John 21. Jesus went to the temple and observed the Feast of Lights, even though there's nothing in the Bible that says to do so. Are you getting me?
Yes.
So, this is to help you understand the response to people who try to control you and tell you, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, because the Bible doesn't say you should do that. Well, the Bible tells us about Purim, but it never says God established it. And there is an example of Jesus going to the temple at Hanukkah, but Jesus never says, observe Hanukkah. But he did. And so that answers that false accusation. That's a false standard. And you have to understand this. When you're dealing with people and they set up these false standards, you understand the Bible says God hates false standards?
Yeah.
You know that? When you establish a false standard, the Bible says God hates that. Our standards should be, we've talked about this many times, but if you have a conviction about smoking, I guess, you know, you can refer to the fact that our bodies are the temple of God and we shouldn't, you know. But then you've got to really start to be a hypocrite. You know, most people are hypocrites because they do a lot of things that aren't good for their body.
Yeah.
So you should express that to people and say, you know, I just believe this. I think the Bible seems to indicate we shouldn't smoke because it's bad for us, but it's just common sense, it's bad for you. But don't go around preaching it like it's Bible doctrine. You know? It can be a number of things. Those churches we talked about that are against facial hair. All right, if you don't like facial hair, fine, but don't act like God's against facial hair. But people do. That's a false standard when you say God. God is against facial hair. Well, it looks good on you. Some of us want to cover. So, in response to God saving their race, the Jewish race, He sends out these letters. He establishes this holiday. He does. God doesn't. And then verse 22, read that with me. As the days wherein, are you there? Esther 9:22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions to one another, and gifts to the poor. The portions are like presents. And so what do? Most of us at holidays like Christmas, we exchange gifts, and we also give to the poor. We give an extra gift to the inner city mission. We might find a family who doesn't have the money to have a good meal on Christmas. So we'll, and it was really fun. We've done this before with a church, and we go and we sneak up and put the food in the basket on the front of the door, and then everybody would be ready. We'd ring the doorbell, and then when they'd come out, we'd sing, "Joy to the world!" You know? And then one time, they decided what we would do is we were going to put it up there and we were going to knock on the door and run. Which was really dumb. Because it was like we didn't want them to know who left it. But we had to, there's about 20 of us and we were all trying to get in our cars. And they're looking at us, "What are they running?" It scared them. Like, what? Huh? Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, they saw, and they're like, "Why?" They realized who it was. But then they're like, "Why are you running?" Why? But anyway, it was fun. And, you know, well-intentioned. So Jesus even credits evil people for giving gifts to their children. In Matthew 7:11, "If ye, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" I have always loved giving gifts. That's a mark of maturity. There comes that moment. And, you know, I've told this before. Forgive me if you've heard it. But my mom gave me like $10 one time so that I could buy a Christmas gift for my dad. And she let us go through Rinks. You remember Rinks? And so it's like Walmart. So I go off and I come back with two things. And she's like, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, I want to get Dad this. And that leaves $4. And I can get myself this Bengals belt buckle." Cincinnati Bengals. She went from being kind of happy to, "Greg, it's Christmas. Get something for your dad, you know." I was like, "Oh man, what a bummer." You know? And I think I got that belt buckle for Christmas myself later. But anyway, there comes that moment of maturity where suddenly, and fellas, you may not be there yet, but it'll happen, where giving is actually more fun than getting. How many of you are there? A couple of you aren't there yet. Okay. One of these days you'll mature to the point where giving is more fun than receiving. Yeah, you have to listen in order to... You like to give? Yeah. But still, is it more... Yeah, you like to get. Yeah. So anyway, that's a mark of maturity in a spiritual level as well. Gifts were given to Jesus at His first coming. Look over to Matthew. We're going to close this up, but this is the point of gift Christmas gifts, and the word gift in the Bible altogether. It's context. By looking at the context, you see what it means, and you also get away from cultic teachings and cultic rules. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Verse 9, 10 says, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." Star of the King by Jeffrey Martis is a little book we've got in our library. You ought to read that if you haven't. Verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And what did they do? Well, look at verse 11. Read it with me. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." And I've heard people say, "Well, if we could give gifts to Jesus, then I would give gifts." Well, give to his church. But you know what? The Bible says when we have the love of God, we should love one another. And we should demonstrate his love that we have from him to each other. And so a lot of times the gifts, I'm just speaking for myself and my wife, our gifts a lot of times are gifts that we believe can help you in your walk with the Lord. Amen. It's a great idea to give Christmas gifts. And one of the best gifts you can give is somebody who doesn't have a good Bible. Get them a good Bible. Maybe they need books that they can encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Or maybe they need audio materials, or you can get them video materials or whatever. But there's nothing wrong with just getting somebody an ugly tie. Especially, you know, if they wear them. And, you know, or something like that. It, just to show your love. And that's what they were doing here. They were showing their love and respect for Jesus. And the fact is, Jesus will receive gifts after his second coming. Through the millennial kingdom. In Psalm 72, look there. Psalm 72. Psalm 72, 1 to 10. There's a lot of them short verses, in case you're worried. I don't read too much of it. I'll start reading as you turn there. "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son." The king's son. "He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment." This is all about the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of Messiah. And verse 3, "The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressors. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." If you love Jesus, you're loving what you're reading right now.
Amen.
And in verse 9, "They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust."
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had to do that. It's a shame it was written by the guy or the band that sang it, but that's a great theme song right there. Read verse 10 with me. "The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts." They're going to bring presents and gifts to Jesus. And I don't believe it'll just be like they did in the Old Testament, like NATO. I think it's going to be gifts and presents, but most of these, I believe, are going to be brought with adoration and love. So you ask about Christmas gifts. We give gifts rejoicing in the birth of Christ. That ought to be your motivation. And regarding other holiday hang-ups, see our playlist referred to earlier. But the final point is that Jesus Christ is the ultimate gift.
Amen.
Yeah, Doug.
The problem with gift-giving is that most people give to each other and they leave the Lord out. And the church, you know, whatever you need to constantly give to the church.
Well, that's true. But as I also said, when you're giving for His glory to someone else.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you give to impress somebody or whatever, but giving because you want to be a blessing to that person.
But a lot of people are doing it.
I'll
give you something.
And that's the point. Again, the materialism that goes on at Christmas is the reason why people don't celebrate Christmas. Well, you know, then you shouldn't do anything. You should just sit there and suck your thumb till Jesus comes back. Because people corrupt everything.
Exactly.
What do you do? Do it the right way.
I agree.
Amen. Yeah.
Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because he belonged to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's about.
And what was the reference again? Say it loud.
Mark 9:41.
Yeah.
Out of your heart.
Yeah. It's where your heart is. That's right. Johnny?
As far as the corruption thing, we look at the Catholic Church. Should we stop serving God because they...
Yeah, they have church and their church is... Yeah, yeah. That guilt by association is not a good standard. It's not a biblical standard. Yes, systemic thing. So the final point is that Jesus Christ is the ultimate gift. And we're going to close there in Ephesians 4, if you want to turn there. Ephesians 4, 4 to 7. Ephesians 4... 4-7, familiar text. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Read verse 7 with me. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift.
Amen.
I'm going to run through the last couple of points. We've run over on time, and I want to close this out. But our good works are a response of gratitude for the gifts of Jesus. Most of you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So our works are our response. Yes, not to be saved, but because we are saved. And so keep calm and musicians come quietly. Our entire life is to be spent in gratitude for God's gift. I hope that's the point. Isn't just to justify the practice of giving gifts, which is justified, if it's given with the right heart, for the right reason. But our entire life, not only is to be spent in gratitude for God's gift, but I'd say it this way. Make your life a gift to Him. When He's king on earth, sitting on a throne, and the nations are bringing gifts to Him, we should present ourselves, Romans 12, 1 and 2, present our bodies a living sacrifice. Think of your life, if you'll think of it in these terms, as a gift to give to God. Not to be saved, not to do anything to earn your salvation, but in response to what He's done to save you. And you get that out of this message, you got it all. Amen.
Joy.